So, then let's start talking about fasting. I usually do this type of sermon once a year as a reminder, often around this time or time of Lent, but So if you've been here for the last year or maybe even longer, you've heard this type of message before, but I think sometimes we need this reminder, sometimes we need someone to encourage us again, because it's a very important practice. And we don't challenge each other, we will not do it. So that's my goal today, to just that we all bring this to God again and hear what he wants us, whether this is a season for us to fast and what he says about it. So we just had our first prayer meeting just a couple of hours ago, and which I think was very fruitful and very encouraging to hear how God spoke to us in different ways. And of course, this coming Wednesday, the season of Lent is starting. And so that's why a reminder on two important topics straight from the Bible. Last week was prayer, and today we will talk about fasting. Those two things are, of course, related to each other. Quick summary of last week when we talked about prayer. The main point was really prayer is not about us getting God to do what we want him to do. God, give me a car, give me a bigger house, give me a better job. God, help me move to this country. Sometimes we go to God like this, but this is not the main point of prayer. The main point of prayer is not so that God aligns with what we want. The main point of prayer is that we align with what God wants. That we change ourselves, our attitudes, our goals, our ambitions, and all these things to what God wants in our lives. It's about praying God's will, not our own will. And then we know when we do pray God's will, we will know that our prayers will be effective, that God will answer those prayers. And then prayer will be exciting and will be something that will really be enriching to our lives, to our spiritual lives, to our whole lives, and not a dread, not a duty, not something we feel we are wasting our time on. And so when we feel our prayers are boring and a waste of time, instead of trying harder or giving up, what we really should do, we should change the way we pray and simply ask ourselves, am I just praying my own will, or am I really praying God's will here? Is that the reason why my prayers seemed so boring and so ineffective right now? So that was last week. Now today we're going to focus on fasting. Of course, it's related to each other. Season of Lent is starting this coming week, February 14th this year. Don's birthday as well. So perfect time. I want to say from the beginning, we are not calling for a church-wide fast. We're not going to do the kind of thing where we say, let's all fast these next 40 days, because it might not be the right time for some of us. We know there's a pregnancy in our midst right now. When you're pregnant, fasting is not the right thing to do. So that is not a good idea. We also know someone who is nursing right now. That is probably also not the right time. So we're not going to say like everybody has to fast these next 40 days because it's the season of Lent. It might not be the right time for everyone. But I want to remind us all of what God says about this topic, and remind us all that God does say he expects everyone to fast. And not just once in a lifetime for 2 days or something like that, but he does ask us to fast regularly. And so if we haven't done it for a long time, then maybe God is challenging some of us to consider a fast. And if it's not right now, then maybe in the near future. So with that summary, let's start with what biblical fasting is not. Sometimes people see fasting as a way to inflict suffering on ourselves. And they really think that the main purpose, the main point of fasting is so that I suffer. After all, the Bible does tell us we should share in Jesus' suffering. And so when we fast, we're kind of sharing in his suffering, so that's a good thing. So we are basically obeying God's commandment to share in his suffering. I don't agree with that. Because when the Bible says share in Jesus' suffering, that comes from the outside. That comes from people who oppose us. That comes from people who just turn against us because we are Christians. And then, of course, we face all kinds of oppositions from other people. That's what it means there to share in Jesus' suffering, what's coming from the outside. That verse does not mean that we are to inflict sufferings on ourselves. That is not Jesus' intention. That is not God's will. So that we say, I have to suffer. And if it doesn't come from the outside, then I make myself suffer. I think that's a wrong interpretation of what this verse means. So the purpose of fasting is not to inflict suffering on ourselves. It's also not a way to make our prayers more powerful. Now, I'll get back to this point in a minute. There is a connection between fasting and our prayers. But sometimes people have this idea that, okay, so I'm praying for a while, and I'm praying for a new job, I'm praying for this, I'm praying for that, and it didn't happen. So what I have to do now is I have to fast on top of praying, and then my prayers will be more powerful, and then God will give me what I want. I don't agree with that either, because fasting in itself doesn't make our prayers more powerful. Now, I'll get back to this point. And of course, it's also not a way to get from God what we want. This is similar to last week's main point. We can't just think, okay, so if I fast, then God will do whatever I ask him to do. That is, again, this wrong conception that we can twist God to do what we want him to do, seeing God as a power, not as a person. This is not the point of fasting either. I would call that a hunger strike. I would really say that is something with a total different motivation. Going there with this mindset of, God, I'm going to fast until you give me what I want from you. Because, yeah, then we are basically elevating ourselves above God and saying, God, you have to do what I want you to do. So that means we put ourselves higher than God, making God our servant. And that is just pretty messed up and not at all what Jesus wants from us. It won't work. God never promised to give us everything we want, so trying harder by fasting is not going to work. So what is it then? Well, let's start with the practice first. Practically, it means we are abstaining from something of this world to increase our need for God. We limit the intake of something of this world. So we spend less time on worldly things. We get less distracted by worldly things. We spend less energy on worldly things. All with this one purpose. Instead of putting my focus on these worldly things, I want to dedicate this time so I have more time and more energy and more focus to focus on my relationship with God. Something of this world has to go for a time, so that I have more focus and energy on my relationship with God. And it's an indirect way of saying, you know what? God is more important than the things of this world. That's why, for a time at least, I get rid of all these things that distract me. And as I get rid of these distractions, I can focus better on God. I have more time, more focus, more energy, depending on how we fast. But this world, I'm decreasing the influence of this world so that I have more resources left to focus on my relationship with God. And the effect of it is this. As we fast, we experience some form of need or withdrawal. For example, we eat less. What happens? We become hungry. As we become hungry, we feel the need to fill ourselves with something else. And it draws us closer to God. And it draws us more, we experience more of a need to really be in God's presence. Let's say we spend less time on worldly hobbies. What happens? We get bored. We have a need to do something, because usually I'm going out now and play football, or usually I'm watching TV now, or I'm doing something like this, and now I'm not doing that, Now I'm sitting at home, I sit on my couch, I have nothing to do. I feel bored. What do we do with our boredom? We bring it to God. And we go to Him to fill us as we are bored. Similar when we say, I'm cutting off TV or internet or something like that, then suddenly we free up our time that we can then fill with God instead. So we experience some form of withdrawal. We experience some form of emptiness. We feel some form of something is missing in my life. And so we bring that need to God. And we say, God, you fill me now. Instead of me playing football, instead of me watching TV, instead of me now eating and indulging myself with physical food, I bring my needs to you. You fill me. You help me. You give me what I need. Because I don't want it from these worldly things. I want you to be my bread. I want you to be my hope. I want you to be my comfort and not the things of this world. So we depend more on God. As we depend more on God, we are more willing and able to hear God's voice. When I'm really full, as an example, it's, let's say a food fast, when I'm really full, I feel very satisfied, I feel very comfortable, and I feel like I'm good, I don't need anything. And that's the hardest time for me to go to God. But when I'm really hungry, and I'm fasting, and I'm like, okay, I cannot run to food now, that's when I say, okay, God, somehow I need to get through this time now. Somehow I need now to be comforted, and I need to get through these next few days or weeks, depending on my fast. I need to get through this time. God, how do you want me to do this? How can I overcome these temptations of just going to the fridge? Where can I get the strength from that I need? Where can I get the energy, the determination that I need to really stick to my commitment and continue fasting? That's the time when I hear God's voice more clearly. Much more clearly than when I'm full, much more clearly than when I'm comfortable. It's when I feel in need that I'm more able and more willing to hear God's instructions, to hear God's guidance, to hear God's voice, and to hear from God, what do you want me to do? So we are more willing and more able to say, God, what do you want? How do you want me to get through this season? And as we hear God's voice more clearly, we can pray prayers more aligned with God's will. As we hear better, as we just are more dependent on God, and we know His will more clearly, we know His ways more clearly, that's when I am able to say, I'm praying more effective prayers because I hear God's voice more clearly. We can only pray according to God's will when we know what God's will is, when we hear His voice. Of course, we have the Bible, and that's all good, to use the Logos word to guide our prayers. But when it comes to things that are not that clear from the Bible, when it comes to personal guidance, where the Bible doesn't give us a clear answer, that's when we can only hear what God is saying, or when we can only pray God's will if we first hear what God is saying. And so we have to hear His voice. And so hearing God's voice is much easier when we fast. And as we pray prayers more aligned with God's will, God will answer our prayers. That's the point from last week. To pray effective prayers, we need to pray according to God's will. So fasting helps us pray effective prayers. So coming back to the point that I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, sometimes people say when you fast, your prayers become more powerful. I wouldn't agree with it like that. Because that gives us kind of the idea that, okay, so now I can pray whatever I want and God will grant it because my prayers are more powerful. That's not what it means. But what it does mean is when we fast, it's easier for us to pray according to God's will because we hear his voice more clearly. And so if you define praying more powerful prayers like that, then I agree with it. But the point is still we have to pray God's will, not our own will. But praying God's will is easier when we fast because we hear his voice more clearly. So fasting can only be effective when we apply the principles of last week's sermon to our prayers. Hearing God's will, hearing his voice first as we pray, and then praying God's will instead of our own. So it's not so much that our prayers get more powerful, but our ability to listen to God's will becomes stronger. And that's what makes our prayers more effective. Let's look at what Jesus said. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you. Two main principles here that Jesus is giving. First one, when you fast. What does he imply by that? You will fast. His followers will fast. It's not an optional thing. It's not just for some Christians. It's evidence of our faith. Jesus made it clear here, there's no such thing as a Christian who never fasts. It doesn't exist. Because then he would have worded this here very differently. Every follower of Jesus is expected to fast. Now we'll talk about a little bit more about it, how often and everything, because Jesus is not very clear on that, and that's, I believe, on purpose. But everybody is expected to fast. And the second thing that he brings up here is our motivation. Why do you fast? Where is your focus? If our focus is on each other, oh, I'm such a good Christian. Look, I did a 40 days water only fast. Look, I'm fasting every year so many times or every month or whatever. Look, what a good Christian I am. What reward will we get? Praise from men and nothing else. So what is Jesus saying here? Our motivation has to be God himself. Nothing else. Our motivation has to be me and my relationship with God. I want to bring glory to God, and I don't need other people to know because it has nothing to do with them. It's between me and God and nobody and nothing else. Now, it doesn't contradict the corporate fast. It doesn't mean that we can never say something like, let's all fast together as a church. I've been part of this in Shanghai. I've been part of those kind of seasons where we said, let's fast together as a church. There's nothing wrong with that. But it does say here, we have to check our motivation. Our motivation must be to bring glory to God. And the moment we start trying to impress one another and trying to get praise from other men, and if that is kind of creeping in with our motivation of pleasing God, then God will say, have it your way. You get your praise from men, but don't expect anything from God anymore if we try to please one another. True story back in Shanghai. It was beginning of the year, and I was in the office back then. I was there full-time, and I just happened to know that two people were fasting. One of them never said anything about it. He just quietly fasted, and he never mentioned it or anything, just happened to know that he was fasting, but you couldn't really see it from the outside. And then there was another colleague who came in. Every day he was complaining. every day he was like, oh, my wife, she wanted to fast, and so I kind of said that I will fast with her, but I don't really want to do it. Now look at the food here, and he was a kind of big meat eater and those kind of things. Now I'm just eating these veggies, and it's, I hate it, and complaining every single day. And it just reminded me so of this passage. There was one guy who was just like, I don't need anyone to know. This is between me and God. And the other guy who was just kind of complaining every day, trying to get comfort from other people all the time. And I don't know all his motivation, but to me it really sounded like, hey, look at me, I'm fasting. If that's our motivation, there is no reward from God left. It's a secret thing. It's a quiet thing. Yes, we can let other people know, but it's for God's glory and nothing else. Matthew 9:14-15. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do you and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So what is Jesus saying? This time, I know some people think this was the 3 days when Jesus was in the tomb. I don't think so. I think what Jesus is saying here is the last 2,000 years is the time when the bridegroom is taken away from us, when he's not here with us physically. This is the time when Jesus is saying his disciples, his followers will fast. So it's clear in the bigger picture that Jesus is saying, this is evidence of faith. This is evidence of our faith that we are truly following Jesus. And if we never fast, it shows that something with our faith isn't quite right. Now here's an important part. Jesus did not tell us how often. Jesus did not say, this is how often you should fast. And I think for good reason, because this is so different. I know back in Shanghai, one time we did a retreat, and we kind of told people, let's make it a fasting retreat. So 3 days, and we won't provide food. And just come and just fast these 3 days so we can see God together. And I got some feedback from some people who said, I would like to, but I just can't. I have physical conditions, I have this, I have that. It's simply impossible for me to fast for 3 days. And I think this is where Jesus was going with when he didn't give us a time frame, when he didn't tell us how often. Because our bodies are different, our life conditions are different, our medical conditions are different, all these things. And so he purposely did not say, oh, you have to fast at least once a week, or at least once a month, or at least this many days a year, or something like that. Jesus did not do that. But what I can say from personal experience, as well as from experience talking with other people about this topic, I think it's really good to put this topic of fasting on our calendar. To make it a regular thing. Not just a when I feel like it, because when do I feel like it? Never. And it's never going to happen. So how can we work against that? Put it on the calendar as a repeating event somehow and say, these are going to be the seasons that I'm going to fast. Some people I know, they do this once a year. Can be Lent, can be Christmas, can be the beginning of the year or something like that. They have a certain month or a certain season when they say, every year at this time I'm going to fast. And they do that faithfully once a year. And then it's usually a bit of a longer fast, maybe a 30 days or 40 days or 21 day fast or something like that, when they dedicate several weeks and say, every year at this time, this is my fasting rhythm. Other people do it once a month. This verse that we just had from Matthew 9, this is actually, there's an organization or a movement called the Global Bridegroom Fast, and they say, we are fasting the first 3 days of every month. And there are many people who do something like that, and they say, regularly, once a month, for these 3 days, I'm going to fast. And then, of course, if you add that up throughout the year, then it's kind of similar to a person who says, I'm going to do a 40 days fast once a year or something like that. I also know people who fast one day a week, or even 2 or 3 days a week. And they say every Monday or every Monday to Wednesday or something like that, every week I'm fasting. And they do that faithfully. They then usually don't do this kind of longer fast, these 40 days fast or something like that. But they also do it faithfully, they do it regularly, and it's on their calendar. So I know of people fast in different ways. But the point is, they fast. The point is, they fast regularly. It's a lifestyle for them. It's not this kind of, okay, I fast when I feel like it, and then for the last 5 years, well, I never felt like it, and let's see when it happens again. I know many people who fast at least once a year and who set aside time, certain days of the week, certain days of the month, or a certain season of the year, where they say, this is my fasting season, and this is what I'm doing faithfully and regularly. So if there was no serious fasting for many years, I have some question marks about that. I have some question marks about how serious this person is taking Jesus' commandment to fast. Because it's not an optional thing. Jesus said this is evidence of our faith that we fast. Let's look at some biblical examples. So I know there's nothing wrong with doing a digital fast or something like that, especially in the age that we live in. But the main example of a fast from the Bible was really a food fast. And so let's look at some of them. First, so what kind of food fasts are there in the Bible? The first one is water only. That is Jesus' example. Matthew 4, verses 1 and 2. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. So he was in the wilderness, and at the end it says he was hungry. It does not say he was thirsty. So that's why most scholars interpret that as saying he did drink. He was in the wilderness. It was probably near a brook or a river or something like that. He did drink, but he did not eat for 40 days. And I know this is a model for many people. This is also kind of where Lent comes in, because, okay, it's 46 days because it's a little bit changed. The tradition now is that it's 46 days, but the 6 Sundays you can eat because Sunday is a feast day, and then they kind of made it 40 days again by making it 6 days longer. But it is coming from here. This is kind of the spirit behind it because this is what Jesus did. 40 days, water only. Then there's the vegetable-only fast. Daniel 1, verse 12. Test your servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us vegetable to eat and water to drink. So they drink only water, they eat only vegetables. In this case, they did that for 10 days. And we know the result from the book of Daniel. They did look better, and some translations say they looked fatter than the other servants who ate the normal food. So this is another variety. This is another way of fasting from the Bible, that we say, okay, I'm going to limit myself to water and vegetables, nothing else. No rice, no pasta, no meat, no sweets, all these things go away. I'm going to eat vegetables only. There's also the total fast. Esther 4:16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. The total fast is often considered as a kind of emergency fast. This was a situation when the Jews were about to be annihilated, when they were about to be killed, and Esther was like, this is such a dangerous situation, the whole nation will be destroyed. We have to do something radical. We have to fast all together, and we have to do a total fast, no eating, no drinking whatsoever. So if we face an emergency in our lives, if we face a kind of situation that could be life or death or something like that, like here in this story, in the situation of Esther, then the total fast could be a good way to respond and to say, God, you got to intervene. You got to do something. And I'm going to do a total fast to really hear and pray, hear what you want to say, and so that I can pray according to your will and act according to your will. Now, if you choose to do this kind of total fast, I want to encourage you, maximum 3 days, like Esther, maximum 72 hours. It's medically proven that after 72 hours of no water, no nothing, your kidneys start shutting down and you can really destroy your body. So if you choose to do an emergency fast, this kind of total fast, limit it to 3 days from the very beginning. You can then, of course, switch to some other form of fast, like water fast or Daniel fast or something like that. That is, of course, possible. But don't wreck your body by saying, I'm going to do a 1 week total fast or something like that. You could really do irreparable harm to your body as well. So these are three examples from the Bible. But of course, there are many other forms where we can use the same principle, but still make it work for ourselves. For example, only eating at certain times. That is a way that some people fast. They say, you know, I have to work, and if I'm fasting, then I can't really focus, or I don't have the physical strength that I need. So I do need to eat in the morning, but I can fast in the evening. So I'm going to skip dinner, and I'm not going to eat in the evening, and I'm going to spend time praying instead. That is something that some people do, and that works for them. Of course, not eating certain foods, that some people say, I'm not going to eat meat, or I'm not going to eat rice, or sweets, or something like that, and I'm going to limit myself that way. I know people who are like doing a liquid food only fast, that they drink and still get some nutrition that way, but nothing solid. So they only drink. They drink juices, maybe some milk or something like that, but they don't have the kind of meal, warm meal, but they still get some nutrition by drinking certain things. So there are many different ways of doing this, but my main point is there has to be some form of withdrawal. Otherwise, it's not a fast. I could fool myself and say, okay, so for the next 40 days, I'm not going to eat sweets. That's not a withdrawal for me. I won't feel any different. I won't feel the kind of need, the kind of withdrawal that I say, I really need to run to God now with my need. I won't feel very different. Or if I tell myself, for the next 40 days, I don't drink alcohol. Haha, I don't drink anyways. That's not a fast. Or if I say, no meat. Nowadays, we get so many like meat products that I just go to Rewe and buy vegetarian meat or something like that, and I will not feel any form of withdrawal. So that's not a fast. My point is, a fast is something where we really feel some form of withdrawal, some form of hunger, some form where we say, I'm really missing something in my life. I really have a need in my life because I'm fasting. And that need drives me to run to God with my need so that God will fulfill my need instead of me trying to fulfill it in other things. If we don't do that, then it's not a fast. Something has to be missing in our lives that makes us run to God. So that's the food fast from the Bible. There's also the sexual fast. 1 Corinthians 7:5, deprive not one the other. This is talking about marriage context, of course. Deprive not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your lack of self-control. So a couple can agree, and they can say to each other, you know what, for a time, whether it's a day, a week, a month, doesn't matter, this is between the husband and the wife, that they say to each other, we are going to abstain from sexual activities for a while, and instead, we will focus on prayer. Instead, we will focus on our relationship with God. Now, the important thing here is, of course, there has to be agreement. Both parties have to agree on it. It cannot be that one person says, I'm going to fast sexually, and the other person is like, what do I do now? There has to be agreement from both of them. But the important thing is, or the principle from this verse is, a couple can agree to abstain, but there has to be a purpose. Not just abstain for the sake of abstaining, but abstain for the purpose of fasting and prayer. Abstaining for the purpose of running to God and deepening their relationship with God, both of them individually and as a couple. So biblically, those are the kind of fasts that we see. We see the food fast, we see the sexual fast, but of course nowadays there are all kinds of forms of fasting that we can do. Living in the 21st century, I think one way that would make a big difference to all of us or to many people would be to take a phone fast, a digital fast, and to say for a season, I'm not going to play video games, I'm not going to watch TV, I'm only going to use my phone for what I really need, so I'm going to call people for work or something, but I'm not going to do anything else on my phone. And what do we do with all that time if we say, I'm going to cut this all out? Instead, I'm going to spend time with God. All this time is going to be replaced by praying, reading God's word, seeking God, hearing his voice, all these things. So saving our time that we spend on all these digital things and replacing it with quality time with God. We can also say we fast on some of our hobbies for a time. Maybe we spend 5 hours per week on sports. Maybe we spend three evenings a week going out and doing parties and these kind of things. Maybe we have a habit of shopping many hours per week. I'm not talking about food shopping or something like that, but just kind of window shopping and just wasting time on these kind of things. And then maybe it's the right thing to say, you know, the way I'm going to fast during this time is I'm not going to do these things for a while. I'm going to save that time. And so I'm going to spend that time with God instead. So instead of going out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday like I usually do, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to spend at least 1 hour with God, praying, reading his word, going deep in my relationship with him. So we have to be careful when we do this kind of fast that we don't just do something, because if I say I don't do this, then we'll waste our time with something else. So we have to be intentional from the beginning to say, I'm not going to do this, and instead I'm going to do that. Worshipping, praying, reading Bible, whatever it is. That's a practical way. It's not directly mentioned in the Bible like this, but I think in this society that we live in nowadays, this would improve many of our relationships with God and our spiritual walk. If some of us were simply willing to say once a week, once a month, once a year, I'm going to put this kind of fast in my calendar. The point is, a fast has to include some form of sacrifice. Otherwise, it's not a fast. There has to be something in our lives that we miss that causes us to draw close to God. There has to be something that says, I'm going to spend more time with God because I'm missing something. Something that makes us feel uncomfortable and makes us run to God with our discomfort. That is the point. And the Bible is clear, everybody should fast on food regularly. Like I said, many people have a weekly, a monthly, or a yearly rhythm. But if food is impossible right now, because of pregnancy or something like this, then ask God if he wants you to do some other form of fast. And if there is a way of, okay, food, you can't cut out food right now, then maybe there is something else that he wants you to cut for a while. The point is, give up something of this world. Reduce your reliance on the things of this world. Whatever we find comfort, whatever we find satisfaction in of this world, and say, that's going to go for a while, and I'm going to run to God so that God will satisfy me instead. So what are some practical steps that we should take if we consider starting a fast? Here's some things that I experienced. Your experience might be a little bit different, but here are some things that I learned that work at least for me. First one, set a time frame. I tried fasting indefinitely. I tried saying something like, I'll just fast and see until until I don't feel like fasting anymore. Guess how long it took for me to not feel like fasting anymore. A couple of days later, I was like, I never committed to fasting for a week or for a month or how long. So I just don't feel like it anymore. So I'll just stop. So it really helps to set a time frame from the very beginning. And it doesn't have to be long. Sometimes we are a little bit intimidated. Oh, my neighbor or my good friend, he's fasting for 40 days, just water every year. And then we feel like we have to catch up with that and kind of, yeah, be as good as others. Maybe your body isn't made for a 40 days water-only fast. And maybe what God wants you to do is just fast one day a month, or something like that. And maybe that's your calling, and maybe that's enough. But set a time frame, doesn't have to be long. Define from the very beginning, this is how long I'm going to fast. So set a time frame. Secondly, set a set a goal. Why am I fasting? What goal am I pursuing? And what do I want to achieve? What answer do I want from God? Maybe we are seeking guidance. Maybe we are at a crossroad, maybe career-wise or something like that, and we're like, okay, I need to know what God's will is. And then we can say, okay, this is the time I'm going to fast because I really want to hear from God. Does he want me to take this job? Does he want me to stay in this job? Does he want me to move to a different country? What is God's will? I want guidance. And then it's good to go in the fast with this kind of attitude and saying, this is my goal. I want to hear from God. I want guidance from God about the question that I have right now. Maybe we say, I'm fasting because I just want to grow deeper in my relationship with God. I don't have any specific question right now. I just want to love him more. I want to be more fruitful. I want to be more loving, whatever it is. I just want to grow deeper in my relationship with God, and this is the goal of my fast. Maybe we say, you know, there are some sinful habits in my life, and I don't seem to be able to shake them. So I'm going to use this fast. I'm going to run to God, asking him to help me overcome these sinful temptations, overcome these struggles that I'm having, and this is the goal of my fast. So set a goal and say, this is the purpose. This is what I want God to achieve in my life during this fast. Then, of course, define the limits. If it's a food fast, define from the very beginning. What do I eat? What do I not eat? What times am I allowed to eat? Whatever it is. If it's a digital fast, then make a commitment from the beginning. What device am I allowed to use? What device am I not allowed to use? At what times can I use these devices? For what purposes? These kind of things. So define the limits and define your time with God. It's easy, and I know this again from personal experience, to say I'm fasting and then I'm keeping my commitment about food, but my lifestyle is still the same. And I'm still not spending extra time with God. So it's also good to say, you know, during my fast, I'm going to block this time. Every day at 8 p.m., I'm going to spend 30 minutes with God. And this is how I spend time with God during this fast. Or what works better for me, I go out. Because at home, things sometimes get messy. So what works well for me is I'm going to take a prayer walk. I'm going to be out. I'm going to be by myself. And that is what I'm going to do during my fast. So that I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to walk this route. Takes me around 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever works for us. And during the time of this walk that I'm taking, I'm going to pray. That can also work, depending on what works for you. But define your time with God and make the necessary changes and necessary commitment to not just not eat, but also have extra time with God. So define your time with God and then set some form of accountability. I know fasting alone is hard. Satan knows how powerful fasting can be, how it can transform our lives. And so Satan will try to distract us, he will try to tempt us, and he will do all kinds of things so that we give up on our fast pretty quickly. What really helps there is accountability. What really helps there is if we tell someone else and tell that person, hey, I'm going to fast, please check in on me, how I'm doing. And when I feel tempted to give up or something like this, please remind me of my commitment that I made to God. That I won't just give up after 2 days, I won't just give up after a week or something, but I made a commitment to fast for 21 days or 40 days or whatever, and please remind me of that commitment, that I don't give up too early. So these are some practical steps that help me personally when I'm entering this kind of season. The point is, make the most of the time. Fasting is not just about not eating, but it's about our relationship with God. And so we should put those things into our calendar, we should make those kind of commitments so that we can really go deep in our relationship with God and make the most of it. One more warning before we close. Satan knows the power of fasting. The moment we make a commitment to fast, or the moment we start fasting, most of the time, things go crazy, at least for me. Maybe things at work get crazy, and we are like, okay, so now I'm making a commitment to fast, and then suddenly I have to do over hours every day, and I don't have my time with God that I committed to. Or maybe something happens with the kids, and suddenly we need to spend a lot more time with the family and taking care of the kids and these kind of things, and we're like, why did all this crazy stuff, this weird stuff, just happen now when I start fasting? Or maybe suddenly we deal with health issues or something like that that will take all our time, and we feel like, oh, in the midst of all these health issues, how can I fast? Satan wants us to think, my life was fine before the fast. Then I started fasting, and now everything goes wrong. Maybe I should stop fasting so that things go back to the way they were before I started fasting. That's what he wants us to think. That's what he wants us to believe. So my encouragement, be prepared for this kind of resistance and don't give in. That's why I said, make a commitment in the beginning. I'm going to fast for a week or for 3 days or for 40 days, whatever God says. I make a commitment to fast for this time, and I'm not going to allow these kind of challenges, these kind of frustrations that Satan throws at me. I'm not going to allow these things to prevent me from fulfilling my commitment. Eventually, God will come through, and eventually, we will experience the blessings of fasting. But very often, the first half doesn't go well. The first few days often are horrible. And we don't really notice the blessings of our fast until we come towards the end. And then we suddenly realize it was worth it. I'm so glad that I pushed through those challenges. I'm so glad that I pushed through and I didn't give in when Satan threw all these temptations at me. I'm so thankful because now I realize what a blessing it is when I fast. How God speaks to me more in more details, how I can hear his voice, how I feel closer to him, and all these things. So let's conclude. Fasting can be a wonderful tool to deepen our relationship with God. We can hear his voice more clearly, we can surrender more, we can experience his love more deeply. We can grow in the fruit of the Spirit, all these things. Fasting is a wonderful tool to grow deeper with God. But our hearts have to be in the right place. Not to impress people, not to show ourselves or to other people what great Christians we are, not to get praise from men, not to feel good about ourselves, how spiritual we are. Our motivation must be, I simply want to honor God as he commanded me to fast, and I simply want to be obedient to him. If we fast with that kind of attitude, it can be one of the greatest blessings in our walk with him. All for his glory and a blessing for us as well. May we pray. God, thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for this great tool that you have given us to really grow deeper with